name's Jason Zeidenberg, and I'm from an organization called the Justice Policy Institute. The organization does research, public policy, promoting alternatives to incarceration. Number one, I think this conference is a tremendous thing. I think this and the quote-unquote activities this week that a lot of you will be involved in are really knocking the ACA and the companies involved in the ACA and the people involved in the ACA off balance in a way they never have before. And I just, it's really important to put this in context so you understand just how important what you're doing here is. So many of the companies involved in the ACA trade show have been picketed before. CCA, some of the other companies in terms of like prison guard union saying, well, we don't want a private prison company there. Some of these companies have been critiqued before because of their practices. Some of the people involved in the ACA have been sued either by inmates or in class action suits by communities. But no one has ever tried to focus the lens on this association as one of the primary places that the prison industrial complex meets, cuts deals, and promotes its business. And, you know, whatever issues come up over the next week or so and you guys taking this this battle to them, you should know that I think you've really kick-started something here in terms of getting the public, getting the media, getting criminal justice researchers like myself to really focus on these guys like a laser beam. And, you know, I hope that a year from now, when they meet next time in some city, we do this again. And we have even sharper ideas about what these guys are all about. We have an even better way of attacking what they're all about. So I just really wanted to put that out there and really say congratulations to you. I think this is tremendous. And some of the other people I know here who are involved in this work say that as well. That being said, I think the two speakers have really summed it up really well. I'm going to be really brief and just try to focus some of these ideas so that it'll be useful to you over the week. This morning, a bunch of us released a short study on Pennsylvania's record in incarceration just outside the Liberty Bell. And I just want to throw a couple of those numbers out there just so that they're in your mind in terms of thinking about the ACA this week. In this year, the year 2000, if you look at the white incarceration rate, that's the number of whites in prison in Pennsylvania per 100,000 over their population, versus the African-American and Latino incarceration rate being defined as non-white. That's their numbers in prison versus their numbers in the population per 100,000. Pennsylvania has the greatest disparity between the white incarceration rate and the non-white incarceration rate of any state or jurisdiction in the country. Pennsylvania leads the way, and that's where these people have chosen to have their conference here this week. The other number that I think is really important to focus on, in 1980, there were 8,000 prisoners in this state. Today, there's 36,000 prisoners in this state. During that time, when it went from being 8,000 to 36,000, the number of whites in prison in Pennsylvania actually dropped. And number of African-American and Latino prisoners, both their proportions and numbers, increased. So that 7 out of 10 new prisoners put in prison between 1980 and 2000, the time in which it grew from 8,000 to 36,000, were non-white. Now, why do I put this out there in terms of the ACA? I do because the ACA has enabled this to happen. And they're putting out their own spin. They're going to have their own press conference. They put that ad in the city paper. But I think the thing that you got to keep bringing this back to is both the companies involved with it, the people involved with it, and the policies that they promoted made that possible. It made it possible for this country to have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the world. It made it possible for us to have 2 million people behind bars, 1 million of whom are African American. The ACA made this possible. How did it make this possible? Just three ways, and I'm just summing up, I think, what's already been said. Number one, the companies involved with the ACA have both underwritten prison expansion and helped promote this fantasy of professionalism that allows them to keep rolling forward. I think you've heard a little bit about it. I just want to point out two of them that I think are really important. Two companies that are presenting and heavily involved in the ACA, One is the Correctional Corporation of America, the largest private prison company in this country. You should know that when the ACA says stuff like, we don't lobby for more people to be behind bars, well, that's not exactly true. Many of the companies within the ACA do that through conservative groups called the Alliance for Legislative Exchange and a variety of other mechanisms. So many of the big companies that are involved in the ACA are directly out there today lobbying and funding political campaigns of people that are increasing sentences. So that's where the profit motive comes in. The other thing is that I find personally ironic is that CCA, which has had numerous inmate deaths, numerous critiques of how they manage their prisons, how they deliver services, and both how they care for people behind bars, they are the sponsors of the dinner at the ACA convention that is supposed to be about the best standards in the profession. Okay? They are the sponsors of the best practices dinner at this convention. The second thing about the ACA is the people involved. And we heard a lot about that, and I don't want to reiterate it. But basically, if you were to go through the list of the people who are the officers of the ACA, the vice presidents and the presidents, what you'll find is that not one, not two, all of them have these backgrounds of running prison systems that are decrepit, where people are dying, which do not meet international standards of care for people behind bars. We put together a fact sheet, which we've given to the conference organizers, which goes through a list of four or five of the major officers and talks about where they've had records of prison systems that have gone awry. And these are the people that are supposedly governing the professionalism of this industry. One I just want to point out, because he's just a glaring example, is Richard Stalder, who runs the prison systems in Louisiana. Almost every one of his prison system, every one of the prisons there, has been ACA accredited, and almost every one has been sued by the Justice Department at one time or another for unconstitutional conditions of confinement. So that's the immediate past president. And when the person, we were putting together just a little fact sheet on him, he said, okay, do you want me to enter the names of all 800 inmates that are currently suing Richard Stalder, the immediate past president of the American Correctional Association, for constitutional, inhumane conditions of confinement? Like, that's how big it is. Finally, it's really important, because they're going to be putting, I think, this kind of spin out this week, is their policies. Again, the ACA actually has lobbied in favor of policies that do see more people end up behind bars. For example, they are in favor of truth in sentencing, which is lengthened inmate sentences. Also, their best practices, the guidelines they put out there, have, as you heard before, facilitated more and more young people, more and more juveniles entering the prison system. And also, through their standards on cell sizes, it made it easier and cheaper to build more prisons. They went from having a cell, 70 feet, that was their standard, to 30 feet. And I think it's even smaller now. The point being is, you can't put millions of people behind bars at the price that they're currently at unless you have really small cells. You also can't do that if you don't provide them with a decent level of services, food, care, and create institutions that are humane. Okay, there's a couple of things I want to just throw out there in terms of the discussion later and also discussions throughout the week, and that is, what are some quote-unquote solutions in terms of dealing with the ACA? And these are more designed as ways for you to think about how to respond to them and how to talk about them. One thing, and I think you touched on this, is wouldn't it be interesting if we had an American Correctional Association or something that actually followed professional standards, i.e., if people die in your prison, something happens to you. You get sanctioned. You don't have to be sued by the Justice Department, but at least be, yelled at by your peers or something. I'm just throwing this out there as things you should talk about. If a lot of suicides happen in prison, maybe something should happen from these quote-unquote professionals. That's a demand that I think you might want to make to them. The other thing is, and this is done in other countries, is quote-unquote performance criteria standards. That is, that your prison, it tries to achieve certain goals, and those are the goals that the community wants them to achieve. So they hearken back to language which talks about rehabilitation, we're all about care. Okay, fine. What about having a system of giving quote-unquote gold stars to prisons if they actually wind up having a low recidivism rate, if the people don't end up coming back, or people don't reoffend within a couple years? What about giving a gold star to a prison if they actually have a good education program in it, and maybe a bad star to a prison that doesn't? Now, this is not the solution to getting 2 million people out behind bars. This is a start to focus, you know, the lens even further on these guys and hold them up for the sham that they are. And finally, there are international codes of conduct with respect to dealing with prisoners. You're supposed to get a certain amount of food. You're supposed to get a certain amount of education. Efforts are supposed to be made at rehabilitation. I don't even know those standards really well. They don't either. It would be an interesting demand that they meet the UN covenants on treatment of prisoners. It's just a demand, you know, one that we might consider. The other thing I just want to throw out there is we do need to know a lot more about the ACA, what it does, and how it facilitates prison growth. And this is something that, you know, those of us involved in this wanting to sustain this, and I'm putting this out there as a call to people who want to work on this, to get in touch with me, and we'll work on this. There's a lot more we need to know about these guys to facilitate activism around this, reform around this, basically any sort of change whatsoever. Number one, we need to know a lot more about the companies involved. We need to know what they do with their money. We need to know what they do with their profits. Where are they funding legislative campaigns? You know, who's involved with them, stuff like that. We need to know a lot more about the people involved in it on a state-by-state basis, and also their officers. We need to know who's involved with it. We need to document on a state-by-state basis institutions that are accredited and hold them up for the shams on a state-by-state basis that they are. Let's just not see that point that the accreditation means anything and just talk about all these different facilities around the country and all these terrible things happening in them that are accredited, and take that to the media, take that to our politicians, and really try to like make this part of the debate. And finally, I think we should hound them next time. I don't know when the next ACA convention is. I want to be involved in the campaigns done around it a year from now. I think this is the best thing since sliced bread. One other thing, I was just wanted to do this, and it seemed like the opportunity to do this, was looking at their ad that they put in the city paper. How many people have read the ad that they put in the city paper? And I know probably a lot of you are, you know, angry about this, that, you know, the Alternative Weekly took an ad from them. I just want to point out a couple of things in the ad that I think are really important in terms of your thinking about this and all of our thinking about this. The ad is this glowing message from the American Correctional Association talking about, you know, how nice they are. Just a couple of lines I want to point out. First of all, they say that they agree with your right to protest them. Well, I think a good question would be asked Dan Cahill is, they don't really agree with anybody's right to express anything in prison or on the outside. So just poke a hole in that. They talk about a system that cares for offenders as well as their families. Well, if they did, then they would support standards that made it easy for family members to see people inside. They would make it easy for them to call out. They say they support things like no-frills telephone calls, but do they really make it easy through their rules in these institutions for an inmate to make a telephone call? Do they really make it easy for a family member to visit somebody? They say they don't support no-frills prison and jails. Well, actually, by calling for smaller cells, they kind of do. I don't even want to get to the job stuff. Again, they say the ACA is not an organization that supports incarceration as the only answer to our justice problems. And that's true. And I think Dan really touched on that well. They are now getting into halfway houses. They are now getting into, quote-unquote, alternative to incarceration programs, which which have kind of a double-edged sword to them. Some of them may actually make it easier for people to come back out. Some of them may actually be an alternative to incarceration. However, it could also be, and there's no study of these of their policies on this, and no study of a lot of these programs, they could also be just expanding the number of people that are under some form of criminal justice control. Instead of having quote-unquote nonviolent drug offenders behind bars, which is the refrain you hear that's made it into the mainstream, okay, let's keep them in halfway houses. Let's have them under the thumb of probation. We could ask the question, do we really need to have them incarcerated in a halfway house at all? Or is this just another way someone's making money off of something that they don't need to? They could either be treated, or we could choose not to call it a crime. Finally, just this is really important. At the end of the ad, they invite you to bring your issues to them, to the ACA. So I would suggest to you that this is something you could reframe as demand. Number one, sometime this week, the ACA is going to be holding a press conference. It would be a great thing, I think, if someone were to call both the media here and their press people and say, we would like to be at that press conference to express our concerns about ACA policies. I mean, they asked you to come. So where is this press conference? Can we get a chair and a glass of water? And, does the mic work? The other thing is, they say that they want discussions on this. I believe the ACA has chapters in every state. They have the Ohio ACA, they have the DC ACA. Maybe they should have a public hearing in a state. Maybe that would be a way inmates and ex-offenders and their families, people who are caught up in the criminal justice system, people concerned about the criminal justice, could address some of these concerns. Otherwise, this is all just hogwash. That's all I got to say, and I hope that in the questions we can formulate some good demands and some issues around this. Thanks a lot.